You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great of you to do so. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great show for you tonight. But first, let's welcome Kanye West, the Peacemaker, in the Hizzle.
Yay.
How you doing,
in a world of heels. In a world of heels, there's one Peacemaker.
That's right.
One baby face.
That's right, Kanye West and the Hizzle. Nice. Also joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, big round of applause for the Swami, Christian from Philly. How's it going, Swami?
The road to SummerSlam, everybody, is starting to already look like a piece of shit.
A piece of just hot pile of garbage. Piece of shit. I saw a piece of shit today on Craigslist, believe it or not. It's a gold piece of shit. Funny that, you know, he brought up piece of shit. They claim, you can check it out, Kevye. It's in Houston, Craigslist.
How much were they
asking? It's still there. Craigslist on the musical instruments, and it's Jimi Hendrix, supposed to be a dookie from Jimi Hendrix that's been in gold. $47,000. I kid you not, bro. You can't make this shit up.
It's a piece of music.
But I digress. And we're still waiting on Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected. We certainly hope that he is doing okay. Guys, piece of shit, huh, Christian? Already?
Dude.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Heart. It is the great Albert Infected. Rancho Punk Rocker. What's going on, dude?
Well, you know, I just rolled out of bed.
Yeah. Hey, what the hell? I mean, it's 9 o'clock. Perfect timing.
It's not, you're getting adjusted.
9 p.m. I thought it was supposed to be 9 a.m. for a second. I don't know what's going on. I'm a few minutes late, guys. I was rushing home. I suffered the flu.
Are you at home in the great city of San Antonio?
Oh yeah, I'm here. I was in Houston yesterday. We were there for the day, or I was there for the day, and drove back last night. And now I'm we came here, but we're doing errands today. And you know, the time gets away from you when you have so many things to do, like stop at Baskin Robbins or the source of beer and all those important things you got to do. So you know, time gets away from you, but I'm glad to be joining. I'm glad to be joining you guys. About 3 minutes late.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it. And yes, I am well aware. I was actually just talking about that just moments ago. I was saying, man, you know, it's this time of year where it doesn't get dark till fucking 9 o'clock. And it's like, man, sometimes I wonder, like, are the kids going to make it tonight? Are they going to make it in time for curfew, you know, for the show and shit? Because, you know, I know that you kids got things going on, man. It's totally understandable. But I do appreciate your presence gracing us.
So you were asking me a question, Minister?
Yes. And by the way, Albert Infected, Christian was just about to fill us in as to why the road to SummerSlam is already a piece of shit.
Well, tell you something.
I'm sure he's already got a million reasons, so let's go.
Let's hear a couple, yeah.
All right.
Entertain us for a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. I heard a fucking rumor that it's going to be Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam. Yay!
Oh,
fucking hooray! We're going to bring out a 54-year-old bum to wrestle Bobby Lashley. Are they fucking stupid? Are they stupid?
Can't keep using Goldberg
fucking
like this.
I don't
right.
Goldberg.
Nobody buys it. Who gives a shit about Goldberg still?
Look, let me tell you something, and just to interject there for a minute, I don't mind, like I said, I don't have a problem with these guys coming back. I don't have a problem with Goldberg fighting Lashley as long as Lashley's going over. Other than that, it's just a waste of time, effort, and space, and money.
Goldberg shouldn't fight for a title, period. Why is he getting title for free?
This is just a rumor right now, so let's just keep it at such.
No, but
it's
starting to look like it. It's starting to look like it.
I don't know how. How is it starting to look like it? I haven't heard them mention anything about Goldberg.
Watch, it's going to happen.
I think that'll be whenever, I don't know. I don't know if that's when Drew's going to get it back, but I mean, Drew's obviously going to get it back in front of fans. That's what they're building it to.
Here's the deal. Y'all know that Goldberg's a San Antonio boy now, right? So
right?
Every time that he, Goldberg's he lives northwest side, and he lives over in Bernie, which is one of the suburbs of San Antonio. But whenever he's retraining for a match in the last like year, a couple of years, whatever, he usually goes over to the wrestling school over Hybrid, I believe. And he usually works out and does some stuff over there, but sometimes they post pictures with Goldberg, like, oh, look, who dropped by the gym today, and I don't think they've been posting any pictures unless he asked them specifically not to. So I mean unless he's got a ring at his house now, but I guess we'll see.
That's a cool score. Hey,
Albert, by the way, sounding like he's getting electrocuted back there.
I hear something. Yeah, I hear a crackling noise, but I'm not sure.
It's hilarious.
Sound like somebody cooking.
Is he doing it on purpose, I wonder?
No.
Pull out the
you'll never
pull
know.
Out the pants.
You'll
never
know.
Speaking of like wrestling schools having people in and stuff, did y'all see on social media that at Loco Wrestling they had Sammy Guevara and Marco Stunt show up at training? They were posting that on social media. They showed all the guys at the wrestling school at the Houston Premier Arena. And, Sammy G and Marco Stunt were both there training with him, looked like. So that's pretty awesome.
But here
in Houston, man, Houston's wrestling scene is popping.
It's starting to pop. Awesome. Yes, indeed it is. You know what else is popping, though? We got birthdays that are popping. And we actually have none today. Today being the 29th. No, we have none. But we have some tomorrow. We have Alicia Fox. Happy birthday tomorrow. Yeah. Remember that crazy woman, Alicia? She's gone all of a sudden. I don't know what happened to her. She just up and left.
She got fired. That's what happened to her. She got fired.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she got fired. Well,
why would they fire Foxy? Holy shit. I'm going to have
she
to...
She's crazy, dude. She like...
Yeah.
She's terrible, bro.
So that was for real? That crazy
she's done some badass real? Stuff, dude. Real talk, like Alicia Fox, my wife is a fan too. We're both fans of Alicia Fox, but she's crazy. Every time they pushed her, she like ran with it way too hard, and they like had to like put the fire out there. Like, okay, calm down.
Yeah, man, they just don't understand how real it is to her. You know who else has a birthday today, man? Cody freaking Rhodes. That's right.
They said tomorrow.
Hey, Cody Rhodes. Oh, yeah, tomorrow. Pardon me. Tomorrow, Cody Rhodes. Also, Terry Funk. Man, here's one bad son of a bitch right there, man. Terry Funk. The fact that he still competes, holy shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I'm an old man, but I can still go. He booked me when I'm 85 years old. I'll be right there.
God damn it.
I'm gonna dress up as I'm gonna dress up as Chainsaw Charlie.
Yeah, bring out that shit one more time, baby. Let's see. Scott Dawson also has a birthday today, and Sue Young, or I'm sorry, tomorrow, and Sue Young, whoever that is.
Have you guys ever seen Terry Funk live before? Has anybody between us ever seen Terry Funk live?
I have. I saw him at the Joe and Harry Freeman Mama's Place in San Antonio at the Freeman Coliseum, baby, before they redid it, no less. Yeah, he was card, and I can't remember who it was, so that tells me it was probably just somebody that he beat the fuck out of.
Mm-hmm. I saw him live at ECW One Night Stand where he teamed up with Tommy Dreamer against Edge and Mick Foley.
Wow. That's badass.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
you talked about that show before.
Terry Funk was bleeding like a stuffed pig. He was on the floor.
Holy fuck.
Wow. That's killer.
You seen him too, Albert?
No, I was going to make a little comment about the Freeman Coliseum before they renovated or turned it into the AT&T Center next door. But I saw SmackDown there. That's actually the first time I saw Hogan, believe it or not, was 2002
old,
SmackDown when he was at the NWO.
The reason I called it that was the Freebirds, Michael Hayes, he saw always cut promos about that place, and he would call it at Joe and Harry Freeman's Mama's Place.
Now it's a giant COVID test site, I believe.
Nice.
So yeah, anyway, that's Terry Funk. Let's see here. Oh yeah, then coming up July 2nd, for some reason the birthdays get all fucked up. It goes to March 17th, Timothy Thatcher. But then it goes back to July 2nd, Bret Hart. July 2nd.
Nice.
Yeah.
And also referee Charles Robinson, July 2nd. That's the referee, right?
The referee.
Little Nate. And Scotty Too Hotty on July 2nd. And let's see here. Joey Janela on July 3rd. A little interesting story about Joey Janela. And July 4th, Barry Windham. July 4th, bringing it in with a bang. Barry Windham. And Sid Vicious. July 4th.
Stupid.
So, yeah. That's them. Coming up July 5th would be Adam Cole, Jerry Sags, and Hillbilly Jim, July 5th. So happy, happy birthday to all those guys. And women. Too Young. Is that a woman? I don't know. Too Young. I would think Too Young is a woman. I'm not sure, though. Maybe a porn star
Young,
name. I don't
Too
know.
Young was like a horror gimmick. It was like a Japanese chick that had a horror gimmick, I'm pretty sure, in TNA. Am I correct?
Wow.
On that, Christian?
Sue Young?
I'm pretty sure she was from TNA
Sue Young's the creepy bride. She became a creepy corpse bride or some stupid shit. Then she became all cutesy and thing, but then she went back to the fucking creepy shit. Sue Young is just over the place. She's overrated. Right?
Yeah,
she's
she was
one
in
of the
TNA.
So, but nevertheless, she is a woman, and there was a woman on there. So I had no idea, but Sue Young.
Yeah.
Happy birthday!
All
she's 30. Right.
Yeah, happy birthday to all those people.
Yeah,
lovely.
Happy birthday to
Terry Funk.
Crazy.
Right?
Yeah, I was gonna ask. How old did it say Terry Funk was? Or is gonna be actually?
Let's see. It says he's a relic.
78 tomorrow.
He's so old, he's a fucking relic. He was born in 1944, so 78.
If y'all get a chance, look up the YouTube video. There's a YouTube video where it's Terry Funk giving whoever was filming a tour of his office. And it's about a 15 or 20 minute long video. And it's actually pretty damn interesting, man. And it's worth a watch. It's just Terry Funk just literally just fucking talking to some guy, you know, walking around his all his memorabilia and talking about all the pictures and stories and stuff like that, too. It's pretty interesting, man. And it's kind of a tearjerker, but, you know, the way he reminisces about his career, it's definitely interesting, man.
He's one of those guys. There's definitely vets where you can watch their shoots, and it's, like, just as good as watching their wrestling because they're just, like, funny to listen to them talking. It's funny. Yeah, folks like that. And then there's a bunch of shoot interviews that I just love watching more than, like, certain matches. Like, the guy might suck as a wrestler, but, who's the guy I've been watching? Greg Valentine, dude. Greg Valentine has so many interviews where he just talks about the old days and shit. And he was always, like, mid-card kind of, but he was still – he's just funny. Look that shit up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a few of the Greg Valentine shoots. They're pretty interesting.
13 years ago today, guys, WWE presented Night of Champions. They were doing Night of Champions. This was from American Airlines Arena in Dallas.
What year?
2007.
Oh, yeah, that's where we had a multiple match where there were two headline matches. One, Batista versus Edge. This is Batista's last chance to become world champion. And the fatal five-way WWE championship between John Cena, Bobby Lashley, King Booker, Mick Foley, and Randy Orton.
Damn.
Except it says here that Triple H defeated John Cena to retain the WWE Championship.
Oh, well, who cares? I thought it was I must have got them confused.
Yeah, but you were right
That's
on point
sweet.
With the,
I
with the
it
other one.
Your ass, though. That was like a pay-per-view main event. That's cool.
You freaked me out, Matt, because you were on point with the other one where Edge defeated Batista to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. But the point
I
that
Booker,
I wanted to make...
I thought Booker was already in TNA at that time.
Wait, let me look it up real quick.
But the point that I wanted to make was that on the card that night, opening up, was John Morrison and The Miz.
Yeah.
And then they defeated Finlay and Hornswoggle to retain the WWE
that's
Tag
awful.
Team Championship.
That's an awful way. That's an awful way to start a pay-per-view. Awful.
And let's see here, going down the card, we had Legacy, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, defeated Hardcore Holly to win the World Tag Team Championship. Now, Holly had won the title with Rhodes, but Rhodes turned on him at the event. So.
But technically, they weren't Legacy yet. They weren't Legacy yet. They were just Ted and Cody. That's not until the whole Manu and Snuka shit started with Randy Orton thing where they did a storyline where Manu and fucking
I remember
Jimmy
that
Smith
shit.
Yeah.
Man, that was horrible, dude.
Yeah, they were asking for Randy Orton's tutelage, and then Randy Orton chose Ted and Cody, so that's the start
but
of that shit.
It just goes to show their consistency at being horrible throughout the years. I mean, they've done some fucking horrible shit year after year after year after year that's just completely forgotten because there's, you know, other horrible shit that they've done that just, you know, abominates that shit. But I digress.
Overshadows
hey, guys,
it, yeah.
Another thing that's also important to note on this card, Kofi Kingston defeated Chris Jericho to win the Intercontinental Championship. Kofi freaking Kingston, guys, in 2007.
But, let's give a big but. That was only because he was distracted by Shawn Michaels.
Jericho
was distracted by Shawn Michaels because this was during the time where Jericho stopped doing Y2J shit. And he was going to be the beginning of his best in the world.
He was the quiet Y2J, the scary Y2J.
Yes, this was during the time where he was going to punch Shawn Michaels
suit.
In the eye.
He was wearing the suit.
The whole story behind it was Chris Jericho was trying to injure Shawn Michaels' eye to permanently blind him.
And he did. He did injure him. And he's got that lazy eye still to this day. I mean, Shawn Michaels has done a lot for us, man. He even lost his fucking smile once.
Yeah.
You know.
He did
it. You gotta give that man credit.
Shawn screwed Shawn.
Yeah.
And let's see. Also on the card, Matt Hardy defeated Chavo Guerrero to retain the U.S. Championship. United States Championship, they called it. Mickie James defeated Katie Lee Burchill. You remember that?
That's awesome. Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
that's
Katie Lee, that was a terrible gimmick, her and her brother.
That was Paul Burchill's sister, which I think they were trying to do an incest storyline between
those
two.
Yeah, that was fucked up, man. That
was
crazy. Yeah, I remember that. That was fucked up, dude. That was fucked up too much even for me. I mean, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Mark Henry defeated Kane and The Big Show to win the ECW Championship. Yeah.
They
were passing around the ECW Championship like a fucking hot potato at that time.
Yeah. How can you call it ECW at that point when you have three fucking WWE superstars fighting for the fucking title?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Did they break the ring?
They were completely bastardizing that title, bro.
They did that match and the ring didn't break?
No, and the match was awful. Like, both of them, point in their careers, both of them, they're fucking overweight. All three of them were overweight at this point. They were done.
Like a bunch of fat asses trying to have a match. All right, let's see. Edge defeated Batista. The Mighty Edge, who recently came back with a brand new beard. It's longer and it's dyed as opposed to the beard he was sporting, you know, a few months ago. He defeated Batista to retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
He won after he got injured where he had to vacate the belt. Because the whole point in 2007, it was supposed to be a match at the Great American Bash where Edge was supposed to defend his title against Kane, but because Edge got injured, he had to vacate the belt.
Wow. Wow. And then we had Triple H defeating John Cena to retain the WWE Championship.
Well, there's a reason for that, too, is because Triple H was bigger as a babyface than John Cena because at this point, people fucking couldn't stand John Cena. They were booing his ass.
Oh, yeah, man. They hated him.
They couldn't stand him.
Really?
Yeah, he was like my favorite wrestler at the time because of that.
Little did they know there was going to be another 13 years or 12 years of Cena to boo. Little did they know then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy, right? People couldn't stand his ass. They started
it
to turn
is,
on
bro.
Him since 2006.
You know, at this time, I was barely getting into the fucking dirt sheets and shit. So I started to know what was going on with John Cena and how everybody hated him and shit. It honestly made me like him more. The fact that he had that much power over people fucking hating him and shit. I mean, people were legit pissed off in the comment section. I mean, they were fucked up about it. And, I guess they had every right to be, you know. They had never had this type of access to, you know, commentary with, like, the masses and shit until this time and shit. You know, all this shit was just getting started, you know, where, you know, disgust and all that type of shit, you know, where you can just go comment under some crazy name and shit. No accountability.
Right.
You can say whatever the fuck you want and shit. So, man, you know, and I was like, holy shit, man, this guy, he's fucking badass to be able to get people to fucking hate him so much. It was legit hate, too. It's not like they just hated the character. They hated John Cena.
Yeah. And he's a piece of shit. I think he's a piece of shit in real life, too. I mean, how the fuck do you have house rules for your girlfriend? You couldn't even
take your shoes off.
Marry Nikki Bella.
Dirty clothes go in the hamper.
Yeah.
You fucking psycho.
Yeah, yeah. He just sounds a little eccentric, doesn't he? He sounds like one of those like guys that's just like,
dude, I bet he's
no,
badass. I look at John Cena like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dude. I think he's one of those kind of. I think he's definitely like The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger. If I can mark out a little bit, like he probably is a weirdo.
I love his Instagram page. I don't know if you guys ever follow his Instagram page.
He's funny.
But,
he's self-aware. He's smart. He's funny. He knows exactly what the fuck he's doing. He's a troll.
We still talking about
but
Cena?
He's also not. Yeah, Cena. Cena's like, I don't know. He's a student of the game, if you will.
Who are you talking about? The Rock?
We're talking about Cena.
Cena is like just like the Rock. I think that he's going to be like that. Yeah, but I'm saying that I compare Cena to like The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger or characters like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Their more egos are fucking huge. These guys have fucking huge-ass egos, bro.
But he did it so well. And I give it to Cena, too, because he was a heel to the people that he wanted to be a heel to, and he was the face to the people that he wanted to be a face to, all by playing the same character. You know what I mean? But,
yeah. He owned people, man. He really fucking owned people. He was like their yo-yo, dude. People would fucking go nuts over this guy. The women would go nuts
but
one
they
way.
Didn't hate him.
The kids would go nuts another, and the adult males would go nuts another. I mean, it was like, fuck, holy shit.
I didn't watch the whole Rise. Like I was watching when he debuted, and I was a fan of him then. Whenever he debuted against Angle, I remember being a kid watching that. But then I stopped watching shortly after that, and I didn't start watching again until like, you know, post Pipe Bomb, right? Something like that.
Wow.
2010.
Cool. That's
what
badass. You didn't get to see that.
I didn't get to see everybody start to hate Cena. So when I came back to watching, I just still liked Cena. And
yeah.
I knew that everybody hated him, but I still liked him. You know what I'm saying?
7 years ago today, I got another one, though, in case you guys, if you still want, Christian, I got another one.
We're putting the Cena thing. You know Cena's, don't mean to interject there, but you know Cena's a cool guy because this company that I used to work for, Mad Dogs over here, where they had the little branch in Vivo, but they had the Mad Dogs over here in the Riverwalk in San Antonio, that every time that Cena and crew would come through when they were wrestling in town, they would always go to Mad Dogs and get completely fucked up. And there's, like, so many pictures of all the waitresses and the managers with, like, John Cena, MVP, like, the Bella Twins.
Right.
Like, they're all just there at Mad Dogs in the Riverwalk getting fucked up.
So, man, it's hard for me to believe that John Cena gets fucked up. Well, I mean, I know he drinks, but, like, in an open – I'm talking about, like, in an open environment, you know, where, like, you know, people can
well,
go fuck with them and shit.
Like back then, yeah, I mean, I maybe not so much more in anymore, you know.
Not now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not now. He's on an island to himself now and shit.
You might see him show up at local wrestling, though.
Let's see. 7 years ago today, the Usos were around. And they defeated Bray Wyatt, the Wyatt family, with Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. God rest his soul. This was at Money in the Bank, guys. 7 years ago, Money in the Bank from the TD Center, from the TD Garden in Boston. You know this was not a sellout. This was not a sellout, guys. 15,653. Come on. The Boston Garden holds more than that.
That's pathetic.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, yeah, they defeated them to retain the WWE Tag Team Championship, the Usos, who are still around.
Wrong.
Paige defeated Naomi. Christian?
Wrong booking decision. I think the Wyatt family deserved the tag titles
than
the Usos. Because at this point around time, people were sick of the Usos, too.
Yeah. And Bray Wyatt was just getting treated like he never wanted fucking pay-per-views, regardless of who he was with. It was terrible. No wonder he's
fucked up in the mind,
if that's indeed what's going on with him. He did beat Dean Ambrose at a pay-per-view.
I think he did beat Dean Ambrose at a pay-per-view.
They would throw him a bone here and there, but, like, I mean, shit, man. He's always fucking losing. They fucked him over, man. They fucked him over. Paige defeated Naomi to retain the WWE Divas Championship. Holy shit. The Divas Championship. That's the butterfly belt. Adam Rose defeated Damian Sandow.
Oh, what a burial. That's horrible.
Hmm. Seth Rollins defeated Rob Van Dam.
Rose was a good wrestler.
No, he was, but he should have been his other persona. I forgot what it was. Leo Liger or something?
Leo Cruz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite characters, dude. He was so badass in NXT.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Seth Rollins defeated Rob Van Dam, Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston, and Dean Ambrose in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
With the help of Kane.
Nice. Corporate Kane?
No, it was actually Mask Kane.
Damn, that's a great memory, dude. You sure you're not making this shit up, bro, as we go along?
No, it was that.
Somebody
because
check
I remember
him.
I watched the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Christian could just
it
be rebooking your history.
I watched the pay-per-view. It was Mask Kane who helped him, and then he went back to being corporate a few weeks later.
I believe you, bro. I think you're just fucking good like that, man.
What a cool time. I was a big fan of the corporate shit that they were doing then, and then not the corporate ministry, but the authority. They were doing the authority.
Oh, yeah, I love that shit. I was a big authority.
It was the post-Daniel Bryan authority, though, the one where it was more focused around Seth Rollins. It was more badass.
The point was Seth was actually great as a heel, not like right now where he's fucking cringe as fuck and he's horrible.
Yeah. We'll definitely get to Seth Rollins. Let's see here. Stardust and Goldust defeated Ryback.
Oh my god.
This was the lowest point in Cody's career.
Yeah. Man. Rusev defeated Big E by submission. Miro.
Yeah.
Layla defeated Summer Rae. Fandango was a special referee. Fandango, of course, recently released.
Funny, that was the dancing gimmick. They were both, Layla and Summer Rae were dancing against each other all the time.
Yeah. I don't know who looked better. I guess
feels
Layla.
Like
I was always a Layla
this was
mark.
Unfortunately, we're all sighing about this card. We're all like, oh, yeah. But really, this was my peak of watching wrestling. It was I watched more matches during this time period than ever probably.
Man, I was watching every week during this point.
I was watching every week during this shit and NXT and everything all during this time.
Fandango did two dancing gimmicks. One was the regular Fandango dance, and then there was one where he went Hispanic for some reason.
Damn, I don't remember that.
Was that an
NXT? No, it was on Raw. It was on the main roster. He was with Rosa Mendez, and he became an Hispanic dancer for some reason.
Oh, shit, I remember that for a brief minute.
Oh, damn.
Let's see here. John Cena defeated Sheamus, Bray Wyatt, Alberto Del Rio, Cesaro, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Kane in a ladder match to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. And this guy...
Well, it was a lose-lose situation right there in that fucking match. Nobody wanted to see fucking Roman win the belt, and nobody wanted to see John Cena, so they had to pick either or. Roman was about to win it, but fucking Bray Wyatt interfered, and he cost Roman the match. So that match was a lose-lose either way.
I kind of remember this match being chaotic as fuck. I want to go back and watch it. It sounds badass.
It was chaotic, but Bray Wyatt interfered, and he cost Roman the match, and John Cena won.
Oh, wait a minute. Happy 31st birthday to Serena. I'm sorry, 35th birthday to Serena Deeb.
Who the fuck is that?
Who?
You guys remember Serena? The chick with Straight Edge Society, CM Punk?
Segway.
Oh, yeah.
It is a great segue because, oddly enough, guys, I found myself watching with the fabulous Kitty Teixeira, and I found ourselves watching The Cock over the weekend. The Peacock Network, of course, with WWE Network on there. And we watched, we were talking about CM Punk earlier that day. And in that moment, she was on there and she found a the CM Punk documentary that came out many years ago, right, which addressed the pipe bomb. Oddly enough, I found out the very next day that it was the anniversary. We watched the fucking pipe bomb, that CM Punk documentary, on the anniversary of his pipe bomb.
Like subconsciously, you just like.
Like I had no idea. I had no idea at all.
You relived it. You got a chance to relive it.
I did. She lived it for the first time. She had never seen it. She had never seen CM Punk's work. To her, she looks like an actor. There's a famous actor right now. I can't think of his name. But we saw a movie of his right before the pandemic. And he looks like CM Punk. The guy looks just like CM Punk. But I digress. So anyway, watch this shit, guys. It's the freaking anniversary of the pipe bomb, the 10-year anniversary of the pipe bomb. Quite possibly the greatest promo ever because it was so fucking real.
Whoa.
There was nothing fake about it. If you remember, the show was headlined by a non-title tables match between R-Truth and John Cena, who was the champion. Now, this was a typical type of main event during this time period. Because if you look at it now, it's much different. R-Truth against John Cena, he that would never happen. He would never win, right? Nowadays, it's going to be somebody who, like, you know, it's going to be fucking, like, two headliners. And, you know, it's like, who the fuck's going to win? But I digress. So, moving on. But then what happened was, all of a sudden, when the match, CM Punk went out there and cost Cena the match.
He wore a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt.
And then he proceeds to cut one of the fucking greatest promos ever. Tore into fucking Triple H, The Rock, Vince McMahon.
Brock Lesnar.
He laid it out. Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Hulk Hogan.
He actually likes
John Cena, even though he's a huge ass kisser. But he's not as big of an ass kisser as Hulk Hogan or The Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He got down. Guys, did you watch this live?
Yeah.
But the pipe bomb?
The pipe bomb, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it live, man, and I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but I was also cringing. I was like, they're going to cut this dude's mic off at any time. And sure enough, they did.
You think that he was talking and they did give him the reins and then they just cut it off whenever he said too much? You think that was a shoot?
Yeah,
I think it was worked like that. I think it was met, but I think he went over his time. That's what I'm thinking, because I think like immediately after that they just cut it. But I think they said that he was, or I think they kind of knew that he was going to, you know, do a little bit of a shoot, but I don't think they knew exactly how much of a shoot he was going
to
do. Uh-huh.
And
I think
in the documentary, they told him
to go air his grievances.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say before I was interrupted.
You can see him doing that shit. They're so goofy, dude. That's so weird. So I did not see it live. And what I was going to say about it, I was thinking about this earlier because I've been seeing stuff about it, but I didn't watch wrestling at this time. It wasn't until after this that I got back into it, and it wasn't because of this that I got back into it. It was really like the Daniel Bryan era brought me back into it, which was like shortly after this, a few years. I didn't hear about this whenever it happened. Like, in the way that WWE frames the pipe bomb being like this huge thing that like brought fans in, and like it was like a... Like, I'm sure it did, but, like, I didn't hear about it in high school or whatever, like, post-high school. Like, I never heard about CM Punk, like, shooting on TV. So I think the WWE, it's one of those things that they make seem like a way bigger deal than maybe it was in pop culture.
I was there live when it happened. It was a great moment, but then when the air was cut off, when it was off air, before anybody else was leaving the arena, Justin Roberts grabbed the microphone and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, I was just informed by the board of directors and Vince McMahon, CM Punk has been indefinitely suspended." I'm like,
damn,
what the fuck? Already? Like, already? Like, the show just ended and you already suspended him? That was so loud. Like, what the fuck? You couldn't give it, like, a few days to think about it? Nope. We'll just suspend him now. Not on TV.
So when does he come back?
He comes back 2 weeks later.
No, I'm talking about now. Yeah, he does come back 2 weeks later. And then he went on a couple of year run, and then he had that where he left again. But this time he didn't tell anybody except just a few people on his way out.
Why should he come back? There's nobody interesting
for the
him to face right now. There's nobody interesting for him to face right now, Minister.
Bullshit.
Not a single,
Cena versus
a single
Roman
guy.
Writes itself. Cena versus Roman would be so badass.
It would be. If they throw us a fucking complete fucking curve and instead of the Rock.
But it won't happen.
Oh my God. I would mark out.
Fun to fantasy book.
I know. I would definitely mark out. But yeah. I still think it will happen someday. Because the money,
I think live crowd. The way you got a live crowd, I think if anything, the best time would be the Royal Rumble and have them win the Rumble. I think that would fucking make people flip the fuck out. That would be one of the biggest instances in WWE right there. Yeah.
Man, it would be. It would be some big badass shit, man. But I don't know that it will happen. He's a man of conviction.
My mom was cool. I didn't mean to take away from it. I was just saying that, like, I don't think that non-wrestling fans really know about how big a deal the pipe bomb was. Like, because to wrestling people watching at the time, yeah, it was probably a huge deal. And like, it is a really badass promo, like you said. Is it the best promo? That's debatable.
Yeah, I did not watch it in real time, but I watched it on DVR. And
here's the ratings for Raw this week over the last 5 years. Are you ready for this? 2016 was 3.4 million. 2017 was 3 million. 2018 was 2.6 million. 2019 was 2.2 million. 2020 was 1.7, and right now 2021 1.5. Sick.
Yeah, but you know, it's also, you know, I have to say, man, that, you know, at the same time, so many people are cutting the cord, and they're not just this Nielsen thing doesn't really matter so much anymore.
No,
yeah,
but
you know,
that's
their
only
money from
although it still
like
matters
every
to
month
to
they're
the
getting
set prices for commercials and
yeah.
shit like that. So it still matters who wins in the ratings and shit for so hours. If you look at it that way, they're probably doing very well.
No.
And then you look at what they do with like Snickers Mania and shit, like how there were Snickers all over WrestleMania this year.
That was.
Did you not,
I think they've always
not hear
done
what
that,
happened?
Like
did you not hear what happened?
Did.
Did, not hear, did you guys not hear what happened in Peacock and Hell in a Cell pay-per-view? Barely anybody couldn't watch that pay-per-view because Peacock wasn't working.
You were having trouble watching it on it was on Roku devices. You couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched on PlayStation and it was working. And I did see that a lot of people were saying Roku didn't work. That sucks. That's what pissed me off the first time I used Peacock. Like, they made me switch to this thing, and then it didn't work. And I'm like, damn it. And I didn't get to watch the show that night, you know? So I'm like, damn it.
Peacock sucks.
So, I've
it
never
sucks.
Had a problem with the cock.
It's worked every time since for me, but still.
Never, not once, had a problem with the cock.
One thing I did notice, though, with Peacock was that I was able to rewind it on my phone, but not on my TV. So when I was watching WrestleMania, I think I was like 15 or 20 minutes behind, and I turned on the TV. I was like, fuck, man. So I tried it on my phone because I downloaded the Peacock app on my phone, and I was able to rewind it and start it over. So I don't know if that was just like a like an error in the system.
Yeah,
or,
that was an issue, you know, with how we were watching too. Yeah, we couldn't watch because we started it late. We couldn't watch it, so I waited like 2 days to watch it because you couldn't rewind. So, yeah.
Yeah,
but
now
they
I was able to rewind I was able to rewind on my phone, so I thought that was kind of weird. You know, I was like, dude, they have the capability to do it. They just don't want it.
They fixed all that stuff now. It's like they fixed all the interface stuff. It works a lot better. I give it a 3-star review. You heard it here.
The CM Punk outburst. 3-star review.
It's just saying it fucking sucks. It does suck. It makes these pay-per-views just like regular episodes of TV. That's why Peacock sucks. Like, the pay-per-views don't mean shit. It just doesn't mean shit.
They still haven't installed all the SmackDown episodes yet. And it's almost August.
Yeah.
We're in a dark time right now for WWE. WWE's in a dark time right now. And I'll tell you what, I watched AEW Saturday, and I thought it was very exciting, except for Conan, man. Oh, my God. I can't stand that guy. He's too many fucking cliche after cliche after fucking cliche. And it makes me fucking sick. And I was thinking, fuck, man, if Taz comes out, I'm going to fucking puke. But luckily, the episode ended at that moment.
Hey, I thought you were talking about Conan O'Brien. I thought you were talking about Conan O'Brien retiring for a second.
He did retire.
From me. I thought you were talking shit about Conan O'Brien, and I was getting caught about it. You're
talking about Conan.
Conan
the wrestler, bro.
Damn.
But you know, Turner has to have a Conan on one of their TVs, so if they can't have Conan O'Brien, they'll just get Conan the wrestler. It'll be all right.
Hell yeah. I marked out for that whole segment. I watched that shit. That was cool whenever him and Tully are talking shit to each other.
That's fucking funny, man. Yeah, it was a good segment, man. But Conan, every fucking thing is cliche after cliche after cliche. But I digress. Enough about Conan. Meanwhile, let's go ahead and take a break, and we're going to come back. And I've got some other news I'd like to catch up on. So let's do that. Yeah. We'll do that. We'll be right back after these words.
What's your thoughts on Dusty Rhodes?
Man, I used to not be able to stand Dusty Rhodes until I realized how much of a fucking legend he was. Once that became a mark, and I realized how much of a fucking asset he was, and in the planning of a lot of the shit that I watched growing up, I instantly became a fucking fan of him. I never did like him growing up. I hated him. Why?
You know, I had a lot of plans, baby. I did a lot of things for the NWA and the WCW, baby. Let me tell you something, Chucky. I did it all for you, baby.
Fatal Four-Way Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal Four-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
We'll be right back.
Minister of Sinister with your fatal four-way radio news brief. WWE officials John Laurinaitis and Bruce Pritchard were at the Performance Center last week reviewing possible call-ups. Word going around the campfire has it that Vince McMahon will also be heading to the PC this week to have a look for himself and perhaps make a possible casting call or two should the opportunity present itself. Meanwhile, it's also been said that the man, Becky Lynch, has also been hanging out at the PC as of late. So it's quite possible that the man has already beat him to the punch, but I digress. It's been revealed that NXT champion Karrion Kross, NXT North American champion Bronson Reed, Scarlett, and Shotzi Blackheart have all appeared on recent SmackDown and Raw Dark matches as they await their imminent call-ups, quite possibly at the upcoming WWE draft, which promises to be more spectacular than ever before. AEW star Joey Janela interrupted a school board meeting which was being held by fascist school board officials in Seminole County, Florida. Janela was speaking his piece when it comes to children having to wear masks while attending school functions and activities. Janela was tossed out after calling out a doctor on his bullshit lies to further his political agenda. Fans on Twitter were immediately calling for a Janela character change where he turns into a right-wing loon. A GoFundMe campaign has been launched to assist former TNA Impact wrestling announcer Don West for financial expenses for his treatment of a brain lymphoma. West revealed his diagnosis back on June 15th. He also indicated he would begin his treatment immediately. West, of course, is known for his legendary commentary on TNA from 2002 to 2012, and then returned in 2017 to work in the company's merchandise department, and also did guest commentary at the 2017 Slammiversary pay-per-view. I'm Minister of Sinister, and this has been your fatal four-way radio news brief. All right, welcome back.
Man, that was
back.
A cool segment, dude.
Is it all right?
Yeah, you covered
how
a lot
dare,
in that.
How
that
dare
cool.
you do the news? Who do you think you are doing the news? That's my job.
Stop it. Stop it. This is different news, my man. You do a report on you know, the wrestling and shit. This was different news. We have some different news going on. Does anybody care to talk about anything? I mean, you know, we got, obviously there's going to be a draft and, you know, there's going to be new guys. The roster's been depleted by firings. We had many firings last week that we didn't
those
even
weren't,
get to.
Those weren't important people. Those weren't
they really
important
weren't.
People, though.
They really weren't, bro. They were the people
like
that CM Punk was talking about when in his documentary, when he was like, or in that promo, when he said, there's people backstage that are glad to be here collecting a paycheck. Shit, like, that's who these people were that got fired. There's nobody on
fucking
nobody.
There was a rumor today that someone got fired and then it got debunked. I saw that there was people saying, like, no, he didn't get fired. And some kind of producer role, I don't know who it was.
Listen, the whole point about Bruce Pritchard, I wouldn't trust Bruce Pritchard for fucking scouting talent, let alone writing for a fucking TV show. First of all, they hired a fucking writer, right? Who didn't know the first thing about fucking wrestling, and of course she got fired the next day.
I also read something that she was fired because of some other things that she said on a she said some things on a live feed or a live, you know, Twitter or something, some type of shit that was live. And she said some things where, like, she just revealed too much, like the fact that she didn't know anything about wrestling.
Well, that's their fault. That's their fault for not checking these people's background. And if they actually know what the fuck they're doing.
I have to agree. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, these people have to be looked at. Whoever the fucking higher-ups are that are making these decisions to hire these people. I mean, how, you know, you got to have somebody that's got... I mean, you know, I could take Freddie Prinze Jr., man. I miss those days. Holy shit. Bring us back some guys.
You know, he
like
was
that.
One of the ones responsible for Freddie Prinze was one of the ones responsible for Kane Room and his mask. You guys know that?
Really?
Not Freddie Prinze.
No, but you know what I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, how old was this writer? Because I think she was like in her early 20s. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna knock it, but I'm not gonna condone WWE hiring people that don't know, you know, anything about pro wrestling. But at the same time, it's like
from the ground up, like bring them in and teach them how it works, and stuff like that.
It's like on the job training. But it's like if somebody was to go to like a fucking, I don't know, like a job fair, like an independent wrestling company, what are they going to do? Like, oh, you don't have any experience writing for wrestling, but you've written for movies and shit? Yeah, we'll give you a chance. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. It's not like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, they should be, you know, mentored by people who understand the business is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the whole fucking draft thing. You know that if Darian Cross and Scarlett, whatever her last name is, goes to the main roster, you know they're going to split them up, right?
Who?
Like,
they're going to split up.
If they get brought up to the main roster, if Karrion Kross gets brought up, they're going to split him from his manager. I don't see why.
Yeah. Because that's the idea. They're going to split them up. They're going to split them up in the draft, and they're both going to be fucked because they can't go without each other, right? Karrion Kross can't cut a fucking promo, and Scarlett Pondell cannot fucking wrestle. So if you split them up, you're going to fuck them right from the start.
So, I mean, you don't know if they're going to split them up just yet.
Yes, that's the idea.
I mean, like, what's the idea? What are they going to do? What's the plan for them?
Nothing. They're going to split them up. I think Karrion Kross is going to go to either Raw or SmackDown, and Scarlett might go to Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then
they might.
Sabotage him. Yes, it's going to happen because that's what Vince wants to do. He wants to sabotage NXT. He wants to sabotage anybody from NXT.
Oh, damn. The tinfoil hat comes out.
Why else is he himself going to the performance center with Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis?
Oh my god. So that's what's going on there with the wrestling news. Let's see, we had Joey Janela, anybody?
Yeah, that's kind of wild. There's been other people that have been getting, like, with the anti-vax stuff. Drake, the ref from NXT, he had, like, a post where I guess he got let go because he disagreed with the vaccination.
I think they both got thrown out of the same meeting, bro.
Yeah, for real. And then even Sasha's under fire for the same thing, for the anti-vax stuff, just, like, in the last couple of days. But I think she might recover from it.
I just think Joey Janela sucks. I just think he sucks as a wrestler, so I don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah, well, I just thought the whole thing was funny.
Isn't that the guy, Joey Janela, isn't the guy who got into it with Enzo at a Blink-182 concert, or am I thinking of somebody else?
It sounds like it could happen, dude. Totally sounds right. I don't know who else it could have been. I mean, it sounds like Joey Janela.
I think it was. I think they almost got into a fight at a concert, and somebody filmed it on their phone. Like, they ran into each other at a concert and then started talking shit to each other, and a bunch of people, like, whipped out their phones. And they ended up getting separated, and nothing really happened besides them, like, you know, almost like, you know, getting into a fist fight. But I'm pretty sure that was Joey Janela.
Interesting. Let's see. So, yeah, that wraps it up for that. Of course, Don West, we all know he's having a hard time. Guys, you know who else is having a hard time? We were making fun of him recently. And then, like, shortly after we were making fun of him, I've been meaning to talk about him for, like, 2 or 3 weeks now. I keep forgetting. Mongo McMichael's having a real hard time right now, man. He's really ill. So we certainly wish him the best. And, of course, Don West, the legendary TNA commentator. Go check out his GoFundMe and support him if you can. So now it's time for the AEW.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Whoa! Welcome all you motherfuckers. Welcome you fucking peasants.
Stop it.
To the AEW Weekly. I am your host, Christian from Philly. Now gather on the campfire, you fucking bums. And I will tell you what has happened in this day of AEW. First off, let's just go to the main event right away. We got Kenny Omega versus Jungle Boy for the world title. A great match. A match that proved that Jungle Boy is the top of the card. He is the man, you know. He's one of the forefronts of the division. But was this really a surprise? No, he lost. So he lost. He got 6 V-triggers and to 1 winged angel, and that was it. He lost. But he looked great. He looked great, and he is a top star. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
I saw that he's got a new piece of ass or something that they revealed, and it's very nice. Apparently a wrestler?
What?
Something about he went public with a relationship?
Oh, yeah, he's with Tana J, whatever the fuck her name is. I'm sorry, sweetheart, if I don't know your name. But, yeah, she's with another wrestler. I don't know who the fuck she is, to be honest.
Is she also on the AEW roster?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Good. They can travel around together. I mean, I think that's great.
Yes, it is fucking great. But enough about that. Let's talk about the Pinnacle. As the Pinnacle set up a trap for the inner
Christian.
Circle. Sounds, yeah. Sean Spears attacks Sammy Guevara, you know, from the inner circle and Pinnacle. He jumps him, beats him up with a fucking chair, bashes him in. What?
He hits him and he drops like a bag of rocks, and he just like falls, like he hits him in the back with it. I get it, like, but it's just like, he's like, you knew you had it coming. He like whispers in his ear, he's like, you knew I was going to get you. And it's like, he just hit him once with the chair. They're just, the kayfabe on the chair shots was cracking me up with that.
Of course, you know, this led to, you know, the next trap, which was, you know, the Lucha Libre legend himself, Conan, you know, with his terrible fucking promo. Save that from TNA Impact. You're not in TNA Impact anymore, brother. You know, you're not LAX no more. Stop putting it in at this point.
I know, bro. It was terrible, man. Fuck, man. You know, I reached out to you during that segment. I was upset about it. Conan, every fucking thing, it's just cliche after cliche after cliche. I mean, come up with something original. Come up with something that fucking intrigues me. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Stop talking about the hood. Stop talking about the hood. Stop talking about some Spanish shit. Talk about something else. But, yeah, Ortiz and Santana were confronting the FTR, you know, the Fuck the Revival group. And then, you know, they got attacked. They get big tacked. They get attacked by FTR. They get pummeled. And then they pile-drived fucking Conan, I think. I don't know. It was all blur, but, you know, Inner Circle got their ass kicked throughout the entire night. Then MJF cut a promo backstage. I couldn't give a fuck. Again, Dean Malenko, he's upset that Dean Malenko got punched by him, MJF, and says, boo fucking who to Chris Jericho. He punched an old man. Get over it. So sorry for fucking Dean Malenko. Again, surprise, surprise, the worst fucking stable, of the AEW lost again. Hangman Page defeats Hobbs. At this point, is it really a surprise that the worst fucking group is led by the worst fucking bullshit tough guy in wrestling history? Taz? Wow, it's again, a group of fucking losers. This has to be the worst AEW stable I've ever seen since they were made.
Bro, they've got way too many fucking stables. The whole thing is just like, I mean, fuck, man. It's one fucking stable after another. One run-in after another. And shit. They need to fix
this
that, man. A
worst
guy like me with the fucking attention span of a goldfish ain't going to be able to hang with that shit.
I mean, the whole thing with Team Taz is that they're stretching Taz, and I've only watched a couple episodes, but I watched about 2 weeks worth of the show.
You're telling me that Taz is actually in AEW?
He's in AEW. He's the manager of his faction. He's the leader of his faction.
Yeah, that's what Team Taz is.
So Taz and Conan are both, oh my God.
No, Conan is just a special appearance. He's not in AEW. He's just special appearance content.
Okay.
But Taz,
I'm on board with AEW, dude. I watched this week too. This week was good. I'm gonna watch again. Like, it's, I get it now. The show's really good. So,
I gotta catch up the last few weeks. It's been a blur for me the last few weeks with everything going on, but I haven't even watched anything. But I need to catch up on AEW definitely before WWE.
Taz's,
you know, like
fucking, Taz's group fucking sucks. They suck.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. For sure. What I was gonna say is that it sucks because they mix Taz between commentary and being this manager and trying to promote these guys. And even whenever Taz is on commentary, I noticed a couple of times where he's putting over his guys, but he's also, like, putting over the other guys, too, because he's on commentary. Like, that's stupid. Like, go all in. Like, Taz just is not believable in this role. Like, Taz is a likable guy to some people. I see how Taz could be good for TV, but they need to pick just commentary for Taz. He doesn't need to be a manager.
His groups lose every fucking show.
I can take either or, but both on the same show, man. I'm not reliving that again.
Fuck.
But
yeah.
Other than that, it's good shit. I mean, it's good shit. Other than my gripe is the fucking run-in after run-in after run-in with you know, gang after gang after gang. It seems like everything is a fucking gang on there. And then
they're all
political and shit, fucking with BLM and Black Lives and like they were getting real fucking political and shit out there. It's like, really? Get the fuck out of here.
The next thing,
I mean,
the final thing.
Those guys, their thing. They're allowed to do it with their characters. It does differentiate a little bit, and WWE has done the same thing.
The final thing on AEW, the report, is that Darby Allin will face Ethan Page in a casket match in AEW at the next pay-per-view. That's going to be interesting. Darby Allin and Ethan Page.
Nice.
This is the first casket match in AEW, so this is going to be interesting. Let's see who wins the first casket match. Odds are it's going to be Ethan Page because Darby Allin can win a match without Sting's help, because Darby Allin is a fucking scrub. We all know this.
Maybe they'll throw, they'll open up the casket to throw Darby Allin in there, and fucking Sting will already be in there and pull in the other guy instead. Help Darby Allin win.
Yeah, but then it will prove the point that Darby Allin can win a fucking match without Sting's help.
But you know what?
Touché.
That drives a wedge. That's the final nail in the coffin, if you will, between the relationship between Sting and Darby. And that way they can have a good blow-off match together a few months down the line. But that sounds about right.
All right. So
fucking, you old motherfucker, why the fuck are you interfering in my match? I could do this without you, motherfucker.
Oh, my God, Christian. Take a chill pill, bro. Take a good, compose yourself, bro. Gather yourself, man. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Christian's going to gather himself. He's going to regain his composure. And then we're going to continue with the show. We're going to finish off strong, I promise you. Stay right where you're at. We'll be right back after these words, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Dusty Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rhodes very much.
They said, like
they said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rhodes, only on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and certainly do await the WWE report. Get that shit.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
We go to bullshit, you know? Like, the road to SummerSlam is already looking fucking bullshit. Straight up bullshit. What better way to start the bullshit than SmackDown for a little quick recap? The only thing that matters on SmackDown. This Roman Reigns garbage that's been happening, you know? You gotta admit that last week's SmackDown was fucking boring, even with the Roman Reigns bullshit. That it was boring, alright? First of all, now instead of Jey Uso, now we have Jimmy Uso. So guess what? Jimmy has now already folded. All right, with no fight, no effort. He's already with Roman already, with no effort whatsoever put into it. He's already his bitch. He's already the right-hand man already.
I don't know. I still see a little bit of hesitation.
No, he's not. He's already in the fold, Minister.
I mean, I see he's doing the bidding and everything, yes. But I do see a little bit of hesitation there still. Does anybody else
is anybody else watching even?
I saw the Roman stuff, but I didn't see much else on SmackDown. I watched Raw, but not SmackDown.
It was straight up, it's straight up bullshit, all right? Basically, Jimmy's just doing the same shit Jay's done. It's a progression. It's not a progression. This is a regression. We're right back where we started. Anyway, we fast forward to Roman Reigns' bullshit. Roman Reigns comes out in the main event. And now, you know, they were going to do a grand announcement. And then who comes out but Edge again? We're right back where we started, everybody. Edge and Roman Reigns. We're reusing people now. We're reusing feuds again. Edge again and Roman and Money in the Bank. Edge attacks Roman. Jimmy, like Jay did, attacks Edge defending Roman, and then Edge beats up Jimmy just like he beat up Jay. It's the same bullshit, the same feud. We've regressed. We're not progressing into anything. It's the same bullshit. It's fucking boring, and it's fucking repetitive. We're right back where we started. Fuck Roman. Fuck this shit. This shit is stupid.
Yeah. No, it's good to see Edge back. That's what I thought of it. I was happy to see Edge come back on TV. Hate to say, but no, it should be okay. I mean, they're gonna stretch it, and I'm not totally cashed out on Roman that storyline either. I mean, I don't know. It sucks that like some people are so tired of it. It sucks that you don't enjoy it. You know what I mean?
I personally was shocked at the Edge factor. I mean, it was shocking.
Cool.
I was expecting it to be, you know, Big E or somebody.
Paul's promo was cool. Paul doesn't get to cut cool promos like that. And so whenever I saw Paul got like a long promo, I was really into it, actually. I thought that was cool.
All this doesn't matter because Seth Rollins is just going to interfere in Edge's match. Doesn't matter. Anyway, we go to Raw. You go past Raw. This is a real life thing that happened. Randy Orton missed his flight on Raw. That's why he couldn't be on last night's show. For real. Not kayfabe. This is for real.
No. So that's why he missed. I also heard that he missed his flight. You're not telling us the whole. You're not giving us the whole scoop there, my man.
The reason he missed his flight.
Was because he was up all night playing video games with the broski. You know, they were doing it, you know, online and shit. Yeah, they were the broskis and shit were playing video games up all night. Randy Orton couldn't hang. Next thing you know, he missed his fucking flight, the fucking amateur.
What the fuck, man? I didn't even know that. I just heard he lost. What a fucking stupid idiot.
They actually sold that. Yeah, that was in the interview, according, you know, what's his name revealed. Riddle revealed that he stayed up late playing video games. So he missed his flight as a result.
Awful.
I thought it was funny, man. So, come on, dude. It's funny. And
I want
you to acknowledge
it. It's funny, but it's false advertisement. He just caused false advertisement.
He couldn't avoid it, dude. I mean, he missed his fucking plane, dude. Shit happened.
It's not funny what happened in the main event. I'll tell you why. Not funny. Anyway, yeah. So, instead of that, we have a battle royal, right? They have a battle royal to see who takes the final spot in the triple threat match to take the Money in the Bank spot. Matt Riddle inserted himself in the battle royal because he wanted to defend his partner's honor. He wanted to make sure Randy goes to the Money in the Bank. So, yeah, we have a battle royal. Good news, at least for Damian Priest, he came back unannounced. Like, he came back out of nowhere in the battle royal. Bad news, he didn't win it. No, Matt Riddle won it, so,
yeah.
Okay. Good for Matt Riddle, you know, he's getting more TV time. Good for him. But I think Damian Priest deserved the win more than fucking Matt Riddle, to be honest. Because, you know.
Here's the thing, man. I saw an article today. I was trying to compile the news brief. I looked at an article about Damian Priest. The reason why he was, you know, had been gone, okay? And basically, they had nothing. They said, here's the reason why he's been, it's personal. It's like, well, get the fuck out of it. Why even write the goddamn article? Bunch of fucking clickbait shit. There was nothing there, bro. So anyway, you know, I'm still not convinced by anything Damian Priest does. If anything, after Randy Orton beats the shit out of, you know, Riddle, which is going to happen, then, you know, maybe they can go be tag team champions, possibly.
Yeah.
So after the Battle Royal, we had a terrible match. A bullshit match between Shayna Baszler and Nikki Ash. That's her new name now, by the way. Nikki Ash. Way to ruin her
man.
Even more.
Who?
Nikki Ash.
They're
almost
really trying to kill Nikki Cross, dude. They're just killing
her. Wait a minute. Nikki Cross is no longer Nikki Cross?
She's called Nikki
Ash.
No,
her new name is Nikki Ash, which is almost superhero.
Yeah, A-S-H, almost superhero.
Fucking awful.
Oh, God.
So Shayna Baszler and Nikki Ash, I'm not calling her that, Nikki Cross, had a boring match. Then came Alexa Bliss, more bullshit, I hate it. Alexa Bliss
you know,
does the same bullshit.
About Nikki, I really like her costume. I like the way she's wearing a little tea bag. You know, underneath the blue leotard. But I digress. And then speaking of Nick, Alexa Bliss, I think Alexa Bliss got new boobs, guys.
I think that's just the dress.
I don't know. I think she got some new boobs.
She would have had to have time off the boobs, bro. She's been on TV every week.
It looks like they look new or they look bigger or something for some reason on the pay-per-view.
I'll have to go back.
On the pay-per-view. No, really. I was like, holy shit, man. Those aren't her. And by the way, kudos to Alexa Bliss. I like the way she covers up. You know, even though she's wearing a short skirt and stuff, she wears shorts underneath that skirt. Kudos to her. You know, she's a conservative gal. You can tell. But
we're past this era. They're not divas anymore. They're women wrestlers.
Exactly.
She has magical powers, dude. Careful
and
what
I'm
you
cool
say about
with
her.
That.
She's fucking voodoo, dude. She'll fuck us up.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool. Alexa Bliss, please find me. Fuck me up.
Yeah.
Do something.
So, yeah,
me.
Alexa. So yeah, Alexa Bliss does her stupid. She does her stupid shit. But Nia Jax is boring.
I'm really taking a liking to it. It's boring to you, but I'm taking a liking to it. I mean, what can I tell you? It's entertaining. Maybe she put a spell on it.
No, she better not win the briefcase. That's all I'm saying.
Or what? You're going to throw a tantrum?
No, because it makes no sense. Her character shouldn't even be concerned about fucking Money in the Bank briefcase.
You're right. Her character shouldn't even be concerned about a title.
Yeah, so it's dumb. And plus, she's won it 2 times. What, you want to give it to her a 3rd time?
No, she doesn't need any title. She doesn't need any briefcase. She is an attraction on her own.
Yeah, so no. So, yeah, Nikki Cross won by a roll-up again. Shayna Baszler is fucking dead. Nikki Cross is fucking dead. Who cares the fuck both of these women, to be honest?
I know for a fact that Shayna Baszler signed her contract. Her contract that basically killed her. The same one that fucking Kevin Owens signed. The same one. They all sign it. They all go through it. You know, once they sign that long-term extension, that's it, baby. Sasha Banks, all of them. They will fuck you over. Yeah. They will fucking flip you. They will flip you 1 minute. You're the world heavyweight champion. And 3 weeks later, you're fucking, you know, off of TV for fucking 6 weeks. See ya. We ain't got nothing for you.
So next we had a promo segment with Kofi Kingston and MVP. This was a great promo segment. These two were great. You know, they have history with each other. It was a great segment.
MVP doing
one of
some
the
great
best.
Work there. Getting his big
yep.
ass in the ring and shit. Fucking hobbling and shit. Yep. I love it.
It was good. Good shit. But all good things must come to an end because now we go to complete trash. We go to Eva Marie and fucking Neville Pevin. I thought they were broken up. Apparently they're still together, but they're still fighting against each other. Garbage match. Eva Marie is fucking useless. Training my fucking ass. She hasn't done shit since coming back. Training my ass. Neville Pevin won. She beat Asuka and Naomi. She beat 2 women who are in the Money in the Bank briefcase match. So, fuck them, right? So, yeah, Eva Marie and Doudrop are still fighting with each other, even though they're partners. So, fuck this story. I give 2 fucks about Eva Marie. I don't know why they fucking signed her back. She hasn't done shit since coming back. Fuck this story. Fuck Eva Marie. I've had it with her. She's useless.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy that they're forcing this right now, too. It's a weird time for them to even be doing, to be bringing her back. And, like, what's it going to be like when they're back on the road? Like, I don't know. Like, what's the end goal with Eva and Doudrop is kind of like a, it's like they're doomed. I feel like they're doomed with this. They're not going to be able to make it into anything.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Have Doudrop beat the shit out of her, which is going to happen.
Nobody's
going to
care about it. It's a stupid, rude storyline. It's a dumbass, like, rude storyline where this
it's
chick...
It's fucking lazy.
The way that the chick has been promoted in the past is how you would promote this chick for her to
and
be
again,
successful. The way
again,
that they're doing it now is how do you kill it.
And again, Kevier, the people doing the fucking hiring, the people that hired that fucking chick... And the people fucking doing the fucking hiring and shit that are doing this fucking shit that are responsible for this shit, the people doing the hiring are the ones that need to be fucking looked at.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Well, I don't know if it's the people that do the hiring. It's the people that do the booking. The people that, like, the talent should be hired. The talent's all good. But it's the people that are making the storylines for them. And,
well, yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
The people that are hiring the bookers or whoever's booking the shit.
Here we are talking about it, though, on a wrestling podcast.
Is it fucking,
like, I mean, so that's
tell me, bro, this is this the fucking work of fucking Kurt Angle's son? I mean, because he's supposed to be fucking one of these guys. So is this his fucking work? Because, I mean, if it is, he's got to fucking go. I want to know who's fucking doing this shit.
Stop it. Stop it.
I think they're all useless, to be honest. I digress. We go to a good match between Ricochet and John Morrison. It was a very great match. One of the only best matches on the entire fucking show, to be fucking honest. And that crazy spot where Ricochet jumped over the fucking middle rope into the fucking barricade outside of the floor. It was a great spot. It was crazy. But the fucked up thing is they both lost by a fucking countout. And they're both in the Money in the Bank briefcase match. So guess what? Four people in the span of one night who qualified for the Money in the Bank briefcase matches are fucking losers. Great. That's good momentum for any of the qualifying people. That's great. That's how you book people that you want to choose in order to win a briefcase match. That's good booking right there.
Oh, they're setting it all up for Drew, bro.
I don't want to hear it.
It all up for Drew.
I'll say that when I get to that. Oh. Then we get question of the week. Then we get question of the fucking week.
Uh-oh.
We get Charlotte versus Natalya. Charlotte, Natalya, and Tamina versus Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, and Rhea Ripley. Question of the fucking night. Who's the face and who's the fucking heel? Spoiler, you don't fucking know because nobody fucking knows who any of these women who are faces and heel anymore. You don't fucking know.
It's blurred lines. I'll tell you who I think is the face. It has to be Rhea Ripley at this point.
But the crowd reactions are boring.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Rhea Ripley. But you know what? Going back to what the fuck were we just talking about just a second ago? Hold on. What was the previous subject before this?
The chick, what's her name?
Eva Marie. Eva Marie.
After that. No. The Money in the Bank. No, I was making a comment about the Money in the Bank. Sorry, I have a couple of Topo Chico hard seltzers here. But let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
Everybody knows that the Money in the Bank winner has to be heel. Money, what's that?
I said the show's sponsored by Topo Chico.
Yeah, totally is. But everybody knows that the Money in the Bank winner always works best as a heel, and that's just how it needs to be booked. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, but Rhea attacking Charlotte after the match does not fucking help that case. After doing a fucking chop to the leg, that doesn't really fucking help.
I loved it, and I'm going to tell you what I'm liking about this shit is I'm liking Rhea Ripley, and I know you guys are all having a problem with it, just like you guys had a problem with fucking Baron Corbin. You know, and of course, Baron Corbin's now been fucking fucked again. But that's another story. But anyway, and that's booking. He himself is badass because he's worked with everything they've given him. But they just keep flip-flopping on him. So anyway, now we're with Rhea Ripley. And, man, I think she's fucking doing her best. I mean, okay, so she's not great in the ring and shit, but she'll grow into that. She'll grow into that, bro. She's not fucking dangerous. She's not going to hurt anybody out there. I mean, she's okay as far in that regard. She's going to grow into this shit. The thing is, she's got a great fucking look. She's got a great fucking presence. And, I mean, you know, that's what they're going with.
I don't care. This feud
they
fucking
can't all
sucks.
Fucking beat
care.
Kurt Angles and shit.
I know, but this feud still fucking sucks. It still sucks.
I'm actually starting to dig it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I am. And I think it's going to end. It's about to end with the fucking draft. Get them away from each other for a while. And then, you know, next year or 2 years from now, One of them is cutting a promo somewhere. One of them is coming back from injury. And instead of going back to her brand, she goes back to the other brand with some bullshit, you know, card that they fucking draw the way they always do. Some unexplainable shit. And that's that. They settle the score.
Yeah. All right,
and
next
then,
we
and
have...
And who knows, maybe even...
Naya.
Maybe even Nia Jax can come in the picture.
Naya.
Fuck you, Nia. Anyway, now we get to Elias. Anyway, the match was terrible, by the way. Next was Elias versus Jackson Ryker in a strap match. And that was shit. Spoiler, it was shit. Nobody gives a fuck about this feud. Elias lost because Elias is a fucking loser. I will not be surprised if Elias is next to get fucking released.
They gave us a 6-week fucking program in fucking a week and a half. In fucking 20 minutes of TV, they gave us a 6-week program. Get the fuck out of here. The
awful.
Whole thing was fucking fucked up, man. That it's like, what the fuck?
Fucking
I mean,
awful.
Come on. It's just too fast, too soon, too much. I mean, it's like, come on, man. They didn't even fucking develop anything. They didn't even, I mean, they just jumped right into it, and then now it's supposed to be over like that?
They may as well fucking release Elias. They're not going to do anything with this fuck. What's the point?
I'm thinking they probably will. He might have one of those hefty contracts.
Yeah, because he's not doing
fucking
music anymore.
I don't see why he would.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know. I don't see why Elias would have a hefty contract. I don't see why he would be safe compared to anybody else that's been let go. Like, but I don't think that he's going to be let go either. The other guy, the Jackson Ryker guy, is like kind of an enigma. I don't know if he can be good or not. I feel like he can be a good character.
To me, he's like one of those guys that comes and goes, bro. Like fucking.
I would not be surprised.
Who's the guy that had mental problems? Lars Anderson. To me, he's like a Lars Anderson type.
I can see him sticking around for a while and getting more. He looks pretty cool. He might be cool. They could do something with him.
Jackson Ryker, you know, political beliefs aside, you know, he's a definite, you know,
oh, did
Trump
he have,
supporter.
He
got some
stiff
and yeah, well, he's a definite, I mean, not like an anti, maybe he is an anti-banker. He's a definite
he's one of
Trump
the
supporter.
Piece of shit Trump supporters.
Yeah, but you know what? The guy, yeah, he's a piece of shit Trump supporter, goddammit. But you know what? He was a solid worker in TNA, and he's got the look, dude. So I think if he just calms down a little bit politically online, which I think he has. I think that he can do pretty good and go pretty far, you know?
Here's what they should do with Jackson Ryker.
Elias is
shave his fucking head. Shave his fucking head. Paint a fucking blue stripe across his fucking, you know, across his fucking eye and over his fucking head and shit down across his fucking neck. Or something, and then paint a fucking another line across his face, and just go that route, and turn him into a complete fucking menace.
Didn't they already did that with Mojo Rawley?
Yeah, and then and then they can fire him a year or two down the line, just like Mojo Rawley. And
I will not be surprised if I will not be surprised in like 1 or 2 weeks Jackson Ryker turns back a heel. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I would not either. And then you're going to be wondering, what the fuck was it all for? And then we'll have the draft, and we'll get them away from each other, and, the whole thing will be, like, non-existent. Typical WWE fashion.
Well, then we get to the pissed-off moment, the moment that pissed off everybody. A triple threat match to see who goes to Money in the Bank, last chance. Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles versus Matt Riddle. Great match, but fucked up outcome. Fucked up winner. Wrong winner. Bullshit. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, honestly. Like, and they wonder why people are turning against Drew McIntyre. How many opportunities are this fucker going to get?
Until he fucking wins.
Fucking stupid. What's the point?
He's
going to
keep getting these. It's obvious, bro. He's the John Cena.
No, he's Roman Reigns 2.0.
It's all the same shit. Roman Reigns is John Cena. They're all the same shit, dude.
It's
and
fucking
he's one of them.
Stupid. It's fucking stupid. Again,
no
he cuts a...
Is that what's going to happen?
What's that?
What did I say? That it's going to be fucking Drew McIntyre winning the freaking...
I mean,
the
I think
shot.
That Drew's going to win it. I see Drew winning it before SummerSlam. I think that Drew's going to win it back in front of fans before SummerSlam and probably lose it at SummerSlam.
It's stupid. It's fucking dumb.
There's
like,
only one pay-per-view, right? There's gonna be the one pay-per-view, Money in the Bank. They'll win it there and then lose it at SummerSlam, right?
No, but
man,
he cuts another stupid promo. Another fucking stupid promo talking about medieval shit or some shit. I'm like, what the?
Oh, he'll
fuck
win the money.
In
the, that's what it is. He's gonna win the Money in the Bank thing. I'm sorry. I'm falling behind. I'm tripping. So if he wins the briefcase, he's gonna cash it in immediately, or what? Is that what? Or what? What's the deal? What do y'all think?
I don't know how this works because he said he can't face Bobby Lashley again for the title.
Yeah.
So he
can't face
right
him unless
Lashley
he has
loses.
The briefcase. If
no,
he has the briefcase, then he can face it because the owner of the briefcase can cash in on whoever.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but that still counts as him facing him for the title.
It doesn't matter, bro. It is what it is.
It does.
Maybe to you it matters a little bit too much, bro.
I think that makes sense. But like as a clause, he could like cash it in on him.
Yeah.
Unless he gets
it's his only. It's his out. And guess
unless
what?
He
he's going to win that
unless,
fucking case, and
unless,
he's going to cash
unless,
in.
Unless he gets drafted to SmackDown.
Exactly. And even then, I mean, there's still no news. We still don't know, but it could happen any minute.
What are you waiting for?
I mean, it could happen any minute, bro.
They're
telling him.
I don't want fucking Goldberg.
Christian, hit it.
I don't want Goldberg for the last one.
That's not Goldberg.
I'm saying I don't want Goldberg versus Lashley at SummerSlam.
Oh God,
I don't want that either.
Everybody knows it's going
to
be.
Yep. It's got to be.
I know for a fact nobody wants to see Drew versus Lesnar again either.
I'll take it. If it's to get that fucking title off of him, if he's fucking champion, I'll fucking take it.
But people want to see Lesnar versus Lashley. They don't want to see Lesnar versus Drew.
I'll take that too. Man, I never, ever thought I would get to this point where I would be hoping that fucking Brock Lesnar comes back.
This is a fucking mess.
I'm straight up, Kevier. I always hated Brock. I fucking dreaded this moment. And now here I am looking forward to this moment. What the fuck?
It's because
I have become what I hate.
Brock Lesnar is badass. We need more wrestlers. We need more wrestlers that are larger than life.
We do.
We need more wrestlers that are larger than life like Brock Lesnar. if the
when you
if
hear
more
that
people
fucking...
like that, then wrestling would be bad.
I mean, dude, Edge showed up this week, okay? Don't get me wrong. I popped. Yes, I popped. It was badass. I popped and shit. But, man, if it would have been fucking... I would have really marked out.
But that's the problem. That's the problem with this fucking company. They are so shit for not booking their current roster right that they had to bring in old relics from the past in order to make the show fucking good.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's a trend that they have set long ago. Long, long ago. And it's a formula that they have established that makes them a lot of money, that has made them the pinnacle, if you will. If you will. They are the real pinnacle.
No.
This fucking group running around fucking AEW and shit causes... No. WWE is the pinnacle of all wrestling. They have made themselves into that.
Anything, I beg to differ. Anything that's on pay-per-view and has people talking in a major network is the pinnacle of wrestling. You could call AEW the pinnacle of wrestling right now, too.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to disagree with that because you could call anything anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's great wrestling on both shows. If we're just talking about wrestling, I think that there's great wrestling going on every wrestler.
Right,
in the
but
world
I mean, I'm
right
talking
now,
about like money wise and viewership wise and shit like that. I mean, you talk about WWE's ratings and how low they are and shit, but yet, as low as they are, they're still higher than AEW's.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, but like to quote, Bane from Dark Knight Rises, victory has defeated him. You know what I mean? Like the storytelling is just not there anymore. It's not as exciting as it used to be. And we talk about this week in and week out the points where I'm kind of sick of talking about it. But yeah, to me, the pinnacle of wrestling is anything that gets people talking. It could be something going on in Impact, it could be something going on in New Japan or AAA, whatever, but if you're a world champion in one of those companies, then you're at the top of the game no matter what, WWE or not.
There should be a gang called, I mean, there's one called the Pinnacle. There should be one called the Apex. But wait a minute, would that be infringing on the Apex Predator?
No.
The Apex. No, but, you know, again, there's so many fucking gangs in AEW. That's what bothers me about it right now. But actually, in a hypocritical fucking sense, I've also been complaining about how there needs to be more stables in WWE at the same time.
That's what I was going to say.
Because I have said that on this show. There needs to be more stables and shit. On WWE and stuff and with managers and shit like that.
The key thing that you got to do when you're watching wrestling is try to enjoy it.
Yes.
Like if you want to watch it, then try to enjoy it when you're watching it, right? But I mean, when we do the show, how can we pick apart what sticks out that we don't like? I mean, I don't think that any of us are really trying to do that. We all want to be fooled. But... No, I mean, just, like, give them some credit. Like, just give them a little bit of leeway to fool you a little bit and try to enjoy it, and then you might enjoy it. Like, I don't know. For the most part, what I see corny shit that I hate, too. I see shit like the Nikki Cross shit and Seth Rollins and different characters where I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing to these people? But other people, I think, like, okay, this is still pretty good.
Man.
This is cool that they're getting to do this.
Of WWE, because it's like, man, I want them to do better. And it pisses me off when they don't.
Yeah.
But evidently they're the best, too. That's the thing that sucks about them is that they are the best. So So they
and
know
that's
what, they're
what I mean.
Doing,
like they're the pinnacle because they have more eyes on them than anybody else and shit. But hey, back to that Nikki Cross shit. I mean, man, the more and more I look at it, like it's appalling what they're fucking doing to her. Now they're calling her, you know, this Nikki ass shit. And I mean, you know, regardless of whose idea it is or what the fuck, and the way they're rolling with this, man, it just seems so much like what was that guy, the Long Island guy, you know, who was trying to use his pool? Zack Ryder?
Zack Ryder, yeah.
It just seems like Zack Ryder shit all over again, dude. You know, like, she's fucking up there reaching for that. She's got that fucking brass ring in her hand. They just fucking cut it away from her. Make, you know, bastardizing the, you know, that the fucking brass ring in the process. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because it just seems like that's what they're doing. And they did it with Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Nikki was as on fire as Zack was. But no, Nikki was being used, and Nikki hadn't been used in a while. She had just been started used on TV again. And it just, I mean, she's still being used. We can't complain about that. Nikki Cross fans can be happy that Nikki Cross is being featured on TV. But at the same time, like, she's not being featured as, like, the character that we supported her as or whatever, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
And you can still... It's still, like, the character is still kind of, I'm giving it some room to breathe, but shit, like, it's super cheesy, dude. It's so funny. Is it just for kids? Then I get it. If it's just for kids and you're changing her, but it sucks because she's, I do not see her getting a championship match. I see her being in stuff and not being able to, like, showcase, like, who we all know Nikki Cross really is. Nikki Cross is, like, a female wrestler who can hang with the guys, who's like a badass wrestler.
Dude, imagine if she wins the briefcase with this fucking gimmick.
I mean,
and she could very well
win. Yeah, and if that happens,
just so they can plot
to
take it away
that.
From her.
I don't want that. So.
Yeah, I think that was bad fucking shit with this.
That's
man.
What made me tune in
going
to Raw
forward.
Because I hadn't been watching Raw. I'd been watching other stuff, and then I saw that something happened with Nikki Cross, and I was like, I had to watch. This was last week, and I had to watch it, and I was like, what the fuck are they doing? I made my wife watch.
Listen,
my little girl loved it. My little girl was like, she's a superhero. So it's got to be for the kids.
Yeah. Listen, Money in the Bank pay-per-view is going to be a porn pay-per-view because there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of hate in that pay-per-view if they do the fucked up finishes of asking... of having Alexa and Drew McIntyre win the briefcase. I'm telling you right now, people are going to fucking hate the pay-per-view if those two win the briefcase. They're going to hate them. They're going to hate the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because this is the first pay-per-view with live... There's going to be the first pay-per-view with live crowds, and I'm pretty sure people are going to fucking boo Alexa Bliss and Drew McIntyre out of the building.
Anything else, Watchdog?
No, that's about it. Just that they better not fuck this up, the Money in the Bank this year, right?
Something tells me they will, and we'll be here talking all about it.
This is the first pay-per-view with live crowds since WrestleMania. They better not
it's
fuck
coming
this
up, man. Yeah, it's coming up. I keep hearing about Super Show. Where are they going on that?
I have no idea.
I know they're going somewhere out of the country, but I don't know if it's, you know, back to, where was that controversial place they went to,
Saudi
Iran,
Arabia.
Or, yeah, Saudi, I don't know if it's, because I keep hearing the word Super Show being thrown around. So let's go ahead and close ourselves out then, guys, and, man, what a great fucking, what a great fucking show that was. We did finish out strong. And on time, too. I'm digging this. Christian.
So, thanks for listening in, all you motherfuckers. Thank you all for listening to Fatal 4 Radio. This has been Christian from Philly. Good night, you sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. Sons of bitches. Nice. guys, that's always entertaining. Always entertaining. Albert.
Yeah.
Hold yourself out, my friend.
Albert? All right, I'll put myself out. It's KVA West, y'all.
Go ahead, Kevin. I was on mute. Can't figure this goddamn thing. Sorry. Go ahead.
I watched a bunch of other wrestling this week, too, man. We need to definitely check out Fight TV app and all the free wrestling that's on there, because I dived in there this week. And I watched some ROW, Reality of Wrestling. There's a lot of people that are featured on local wrestling there. Check out Local Wrestling 2. That's all featured
you
on
watched
title
it
match.
Live? You watched it live, ROW?
I didn't watch it live, but I watched the most recent
episode. I'm sorry.
I watched
I'm
3 different episodes. And I caught up on it. A lot of people I've seen. It's pretty interesting. Check out ROW because it's actually pretty cool. And all this wrestling's out there. That's all. Just, like, get out there and see what's on TV. It's not just on TV. It's free. It's everywhere. The shit's streaming. It's on YouTube. There's wrestling from every state. There's like 10 different companies that are promoting that shit. Go watch it.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West. Albert, my friend, close yourself out there.
Well, I got a little announcement to make here, guys. This weekend, I'm heading up to Austin and working on a movie, believe it or not. And I'm going to be in a movie with Luke Wilson, Owen Wilson, and some other chicks from Riverdale. It's going to come out Netflix next year. So I got a little spot in the movie. So I'm going up to Austin Friday, pending my COVID test. And I get to play the prestigious role of punk rocker in the crowd.
Nice. Sad ass.
So
dude.
The movie's called.
That's awesome.
I'm working on that movie.
Badass.
I get paid for it too. I'm getting paid for this. It's my first paid acting gig. But I played punk rocker in crowd. We're working on it this weekend. Just one scene that I'm going to be in. You might see me in the corner. My head popping out of the corner one day. Netflix. It's going to be fun, and I get to see, you know, how Hollywood productions work, you know what I mean? So it's going to be an experience. Making that announcement here for the first time, I haven't posted on Facebook or anything like that yet, but should be fun. We're filming at the Continental Club, and it's called Plus Minus, and it's coming out next year on Netflix, so that's going to be fun. Anyway, good night, guys, and it's a great show, and support local and independent wrestling as always.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert and Spencer. That's a fucking... That's so badass, man. That's so fucking killer. So, yeah, hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us. And like the guy said, like Albert said, support local wrestling. And also, Kevin said that support local wrestling. You know what? I'm on board, too. Support local wrestling because that's where it's at. And, you know, keep your eyes on the bigs because they'll always be there. And but put your money into local wrestling. So, yeah, peace out, motherfuckers. We'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.